VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, this program is coming to you live on Tuesday, April 18th, 2023. And I mention that because before we introduce our guest and topic for today, this morning, InTouch Ministries announced that at 7:30 a.m., Dr. Charles Stanley, at the age of 90, went home to be with the Lord. Dr. Stanley is known the world over through his broadcast ministry, In Touch, both on radio and television. He has impacted countless lives for eternity. Only eternity is going to reveal the number of those who have come to know the Lord as Savior through the preaching of Dr. Stanley as he proclaimed the authoritative Word of God. The Bible does tell us, so, ladies and gentlemen, for the believer, it's to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. So we do rejoice knowing Dr. Stanley is home today with Christ. Well, friends, as you regularly listen to this program, you know that we are in troublesome times. We are witnessing the rapid advancing of an agenda that promotes the killing of the preborn, that will take children away from their parents in order to secure what they call gender affirmation, whether it be done through chemicals or surgery or both. We see lawlessness that's abounding on all levels and Soros-backed DAs that are releasing violent criminals back into society. We've got youth that are rioting, running rampant, looting, and creating all sorts of mayhem, many times without consequence. We virtually have open borders with a record number of encounters with those entering illegally and many on the terror watch list trying to gain access to our nation. How many gotaways are there? We don't know. We're on the brink of world war as China is muscling its influence, forming alliances with Russia, Iran, even recently convincing France to distance itself from the U.S. And as for our military command, well, they're strategizing. They're strategizing with how to deal with the existential threat of our time, so-called global climate change. Indeed, the administration of our country is consumed with ramming through a climate agenda that attacks our monetary supply, attacks our sources of energy, attacks our use of natural gas appliances, gasoline-powered engines, even attacking our food supply, including both our source of meat and our source of crops on farmland. How long before you will be placed on a personal CO2 emissions budget? Did you know there are those who are working toward that end? Well, our guest today is saying it is our climate policy and not climate change that is causing the crisis. Joining us today, we welcome Alex Newman. You recognize him as being an award-winning international freelance journalist, author, researcher, educator, and consultant, and a senior editor for The New American, author of Crimes of the Educators, and also author of Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes, founder of Liberty Sentinel. And Alex, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Jim.
Alex, I can remember Vic Eliason, the former host of this program, who is now also with the Lord, saying the inmates have taken over the asylum. And when we see the policies and the regulations, the restrictions, the executive orders that are being initiated here through this administration, coupled with our attacks on personal freedom and sovereignty, it's clearly a very outrageous agenda. And something we once knew as good old common sense is out the window. I mean, it's outrageous what's going on.
It is so outrageous. In fact, I consider what's happening to be a crime of monumental proportions. This is deliberate fraud. This is deliberate deception to undermine our nation, to undermine our critical systems. I mean, we're talking about the systems that actually make life possible, our agricultural systems, our food systems, our transportation systems, our energy systems. I mean, the infrastructure that literally makes it possible for 330 million Americans to live on this landmass. Is being deliberately and strategically attacked under a pretext that the leaders know is a fraud. And I believe I can prove very simply that the leadership knows this pretext is a fraud. It's unbelievably dangerous, Jim, what's happening. And the climate policies, so-called, are quite literally producing disaster around the world in terms of increasing poverty, which, you know, for many people around the world, increasing poverty means actually going straight into hunger and malnutrition and not having access to life-saving medicines, not being able to cook your food properly. You know, for a lot of people, this is a life-and-death situation. And unfortunately, the inmates who've taken over the asylum just continue pushing harder and harder.
You know, Alex, I was amazed. One of the world's staple food supplies is rice. And just within recent days, there's been an attack on rice itself.
Yep. They're saying that rice farming produces methane emissions and that therefore it needs to be reined in. Of course, rice is a staple food for billions of people on this planet. And I think this really reveals something very important about the agenda of the people pushing. They are anti-human, and they are coming after the poor and the most vulnerable people on this planet.
Let's cover a couple of basic questions. Alex, first of all, we're told our planet is warming. Is it?
Well, it has not warmed one iota, even according to the data systems and the data record kept by the U.S. federal government, by NOAA and NASA, at all for over 8 years now. There's been no warming at all. Even though CO2 concentrations in the atmosphere have increased during that time, even though human emissions of carbon dioxide have increased during that time. So just based on that fact alone, you can make a pretty strong argument, in fact, I would say almost conclusive argument, that the hypothesis that human emissions of CO2 are causing global warming is absolutely false. Now, has the planet warmed a little bit over the last 50 or 60 years? It looks like it has. Has the planet warmed and cooled many, many times over the last thousands of years? Of course it has. That has been a process that has happened from the time God created this planet until today. We've got abundant evidence of that in the geological record. We've got abundant evidence of that in the plant record. And so we should not be alarmed by a slight increasing or a slight decrease in temperature. But, you know, even that question is very difficult to determine. You know, when they talk about global temperature, they want you to believe that we have some kind of incredibly accurate temperature record that's going to tell them to, you know, 1/100th of a degree how much the planet has warmed. And that is totally fraudulent. In fact, I've interviewed many of the world's leading climate scientists on this very question, including Dr. Willie Soon, probably the world's top astrophysicist. He's affiliated with the Harvard Smithsonian and a variety of other prestigious institutes around the world. And he says one of the things that's so dangerous about relying on the temperature record is that they are using temperature data that's coming from areas that have had cities built up around it. So if you put a thermometer out in a field 100 years ago, and then a city built up around that thermometer, it's going to show a slight increase in temperature because there's concrete and black asphalt all over the floor where there used to be, you know, grass or grains of some sort. So, yeah, you'll have a little bit of a warming in that temperature record. The reality is there is no truly accurate temperature record going back, you know, beyond just a few decades. And so even that question, I think, is still up in the air.
So we're told that CO2 is evil. What is CO2 and why is CO2 necessary?
Well, CO2 is the gas of life. I mean, that's what many scientists around the world have known it as for decades, for generations. It is the gas that every human being exhales. It is the gas that plants use to do photosynthesis, to turn sun and CO2 into something usable, and then they release the oxygen into the atmosphere. So it's a critical molecule. It exists in limited quantities in the atmosphere, something like 0.4% of the atmosphere is CO2. Now, human emissions of CO2 make up a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of 1% of all the greenhouse gases present naturally in the atmosphere. And that's not a problem. In fact, in interviewing many of the world's top scientists on this issue, including I just got back from a climate summit just a few weeks ago in Orlando, put on by the Heartland Institute, I had the opportunity to interview Dr. William Happer. Aside from being one of the world's most prestigious physicists, he's a professor of physics emeritus at Princeton University. He also served as Donald Trump's climate advisor during the first 2 years of his administration. And what he said to me is the world is starving for more CO2. He said CO2 is very good for the planet. We want more CO2. We should encourage more CO2. It's basically plant food. And yet, the Biden administration and the United Nations are treating it as if it were some sort of pollution, some sort of demon molecule that's going to cook the planet. And that's frankly ridiculous, and they know better.
Alex, after attending this conference that you just referred to by the Heartland Institute, you wrote this: if the climate movement led by governments, the United Nations, tax-funded environmental groups, and big business is not restrained, there will be a great deal of needless pain inflicted on humanity. Explain what you mean by this, and what kind of pain are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm talking pain up to and including death, right? Every single human activity involves CO2 emissions. I mean, literally, because we breathe and we exhale CO2, there's nothing that a human being can do that doesn't in some way contribute to releasing CO2 into the atmosphere. And so from a scientific perspective, the idea that this is dangerous or problematic is ludicrous. But from a totalitarian perspective, you recognize that it's incredibly brilliant, right? If CO2 is pollution and everything the human being does involves releasing this pollution, and pollution needs to be regulated by the UN and by governments, then every single human activity falls then under the regulatory purview of the federal government and, of course, of the United Nations. So when I talk about this being a danger if these forces are not restrained, I mean quite literally people will starve to death, people will freeze to death, people will not be able to build up the infrastructure that they need to sustain life, to make people prosperous. And the thing that's especially ironic about this, Jim, and I hope we can talk a little bit more about this, it's critical for people to understand this. They are demonizing CO2 in the United States. They are demonizing CO2 in Western Europe and in Japan. But for every power plant that we shut down in the United States under the guise of combating the alleged climate crisis, the communist Chinese are building multiple coal-fired power plants. And every unit of economic production in communist China releases vastly more CO2 into the atmosphere than it does if it's produced in the United States or if it's produced in Germany or Japan or Switzerland or Australia. So they're not, even though they're pretending like CO2 is this terrible thing and they're very concerned about it and we need to shut down our economy to deal with it, if they truly believed that, the worst possible thing that they could do is shut down production in the United States and ship it over to China. And yet that's exactly what they're doing, and they're smiling about it while they're shutting down our industry. So the kind of pain that we can expect as this moves forward, if it's not stopped, drastically decreased standards of living, which, you know, in the United States, as we stand right now, we could probably survive if our standard of living was decreased. It may not be pleasant, but we could survive that. But when you're talking about the billions of people on the world who are really struggling on the edge of survival, people who, you know, a little difference in their income would make the difference between whether they're going to feed their children that night, whether they're going to be able to buy the antibiotics to protect their children from some kind of infection. You're talking about things that will actually cause death, needless death, in large numbers of people. And many scientists have talked about this as well. You know, there was one very prestigious scientist, used to be a senior climate scientist at NASA. He started calling the global warming people the global warming Nazis because, as he correctly pointed out, these policies that they are pursuing will literally kill millions of people around the planet. And for now, at least, that'll be primarily the poorest people in Africa, in Latin America, in the poorer parts of Asia. Also that greenies and governments in the Western world can feel good about themselves.
Alex Newman is with us here today on Crosstalk. Friends, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to delve further into this issue of what is happening on the international level to promote this agenda through the auspices of the UN, through the auspices of some of these other nations that he has mentioned as well, and also then what's going on this side of the ocean as well, what's going on in the U.S. To advance this agenda. Stay with us. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did Noah's Ark have to contain two of every species we find on planet Earth today?
Not at all, Chris. In fact, this is a straw man argument used by those who really don't believe in Noah's Ark at all. The Bible says that God created each basic type of animal after its kind, and that Noah was to bring two of each kind of animal on board the Ark. kind would be represented by the basic categories of animals today, such as the dog kind. Within the dog kind, there are several species. That's the wolves and the foxes and the coyotes and the dingoes. They are called species, but they're all interfertile. They're all part of the dog kind. There was plenty of room on board the ark for two of each of these various kinds of land-dwelling, air-breathing animals. The Bible story holds water, as it were. We read about it when we go back to Genesis.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman is with us here today. TheNewAmerican.com, he writes for The New American Magazine as a senior editor, and so many articles on this whole issue of climate change you'll find there, TheNewAmerican.com. There is much that is afoot right now, and friends, all that we see taking place around the world, and we're going to weave some of this together, but certainly the whole aspect of worldwide control and global chaos and global emergency response and all these kind of, it's all woven together. This is one component of this, and we'll seek to do some of that weaving together. Alex, let's expose what is going on this matter of climate policy. As it relates to the international level, expose some of the issues that are going on there, whether it be that of the UN. You mentioned some of the European nations, and then want to also visualize what's happening here in the United States to advance this agenda.
Yeah, well, there is so much happening. It's actually hard for anybody to keep track of it all. But let's start with the international level. I just did a major front page article for the Epoch Times, and I also just released a video yesterday on this for the New American Magazine that people can find at Rumble. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, who is a well-known and proud socialist, he actually was the leader of the Socialist International before taking his current post, he is proposing a massive power grab for the United Nations that would basically put the UN and its agencies in charge of the response to any kind of global emergency. And they actually make clear in this policy proposal that it wouldn't actually have to be an emergency and it wouldn't actually have to be global. But the nations, the governments, the private sector, civil society, the experts all would have to take their marching orders from the UN if this were to be approved in September of this year when they meet together in New York at the General Assembly Week. They're having a summit for the future. And one of the points that is specifically mentioned in there is actually climate change. So under the guise of saving us from climate change, the UN would be empowered to basically take charge over everything. And by everything, I mean everything. Right? So that's serious enough. Of course, you got the World Health Organization right now working to empower itself through the new International Pandemic Treaty, which they're now calling an accord because the Senate's not going to ratify it. And so at the international level, and the World Health Organization has said many times, in fact, last time I was on your program to discuss this, Jim, I had just got back, or maybe I was still in Egypt at the UN Climate Summit, and the head of the World Health Organization specifically said at and during the summit that climate change is a global public health emergency.
Right.
They've told us what they want to do. And then at the national front, on the domestic front, the Biden administration is using this pretext of climate change to impose horrific regulations that are going to strangle our economy, that are going to destroy our industries, that are going to push millions of Americans into poverty on everything. You know, just now, a couple of days ago, they released some new standards for cars where your car can't emit this much CO2, which is absolutely going to destroy the automobile manufacturing industry. I mean, it may take almost all gasoline-powered cars out of production by the year 2030. So that's what we're dealing with. They want to take over, you know, they want to shut down our power plants. They want to drastically reshape agriculture. They want to take more and more land out of production. So on every front, they're moving ahead with this. And I think it's worth pointing out on this, Jim, as we're talking about this, that a poll just came out last week, and I covered this at my own website. Most Americans do not believe that human emissions of CO2 or that human activities are causing climate change or global warming. And so even without Americans even agreeing that this hypothesis is correct, they're moving forward at the international level and at the federal level in a way that is going to significantly harm Americans and potentially kill millions around the world.
And it seems, doesn't it seem strange that people keep electing these people into office, or maybe something else going on there, I don't know. John Kerry, he has been out warning about executive orders are coming here for climate change and talking about more what they're going to do. It really ought to make the hair on the back of our neck stand up when we hear John Kerry talk, because it's not too pleasant for this nation or the world.
No, it's not. And you know, of all people, to have John Kerry doing this, this is a guy who flies around the world in his private jet. This is a guy who owns numerous mansions. This is a guy who rides around in fleets of limousines. This guy has a carbon footprint, the equivalent of a small African country, and he wants to completely bankrupt whole industries and millions of people around the world under the guise of this climate agenda. I actually ran into him in Egypt and tried to ask him some of these questions, and he was totally surrounded by, I assume it was security, and he had a face mask on, so it was very difficult to understand him. But I confronted him, and we got that on video. I tried to ask him some questions about this, and he was very, very uninterested in speaking. So he kind of mumbled something to a few of my questions, mm-hmm. and then rushed off, and his security people looked at me in a way that convinced me I better not follow. But they don't feel like they have to answer questions from anybody. They don't feel like they have to have the consent of the governed. Obviously, we're not even talking here about laws passed by Congress, by our elected officials. We're not talking about treaties that are being ratified by the Senate. We're talking about imperial decrees issued by a presidential administration that recognizes no limits on its power, that obeys no constitutional boundaries. And even if you believe in the man-made global warming hypothesis, which I think at this point has been debunked so thoroughly, it's not worth taking seriously. But even if you were to believe in it, you have to recognize that having an imperial presidency with no limits on its power is a very, very dangerous thing. And if you like Joe Biden, what happens if Trump starts exercising power like this, right? We can all agree as Americans that this is not appropriate.
Right, right. Our city here that I'm talking from, Milwaukee, we sit right on Lake Michigan, one of the Great Lakes. And I've seen the papers, if water levels are too low one year, we're told it's due to climate change. If the levels are too high, it's climate change. If there's a drought somewhere in California, climate change. Excess snow or rain, climate change. Alex, the alarmists are trying to have it both ways, saying no matter what happens, they're partnering, you know, just partnering up with Chicken Little. So the sky is falling.
That's exactly right. It's truly incredible. And yet they're moving full speed ahead on this. They're moving very, very rapidly. And again, all you really have to do to know that the leaders of this movement don't believe this themselves is to look at what's happening with communist China. You know, I was at the UN meeting in Paris, the so-called Paris Agreement, where Barack Obama declared that he was going to slash American CO2 emissions by about a third by the year 2030, which, as he himself pointed out on the campaign trail, under my plan, electricity rates are necessarily going to skyrocket. That was his exact verbiage. And then at that same meeting, the communist Chinese said, well, actually, we're going to continue increasing our CO2 emissions until at least 2030. We're going to keep building coal-fired power plants. It's exactly what they've done. In what universe can you say that CO2 is bad if it comes from an American factory or an American power plant, but it's not bad if it comes from a factory or a power plant operated by a mass-murdering dictatorship? It makes no sense, and I don't really think that anybody can take these arguments seriously if they're paying attention to what's happening.
You know, and Alex, we've interviewed before on the whole matter of communist China and its growing influence. These chips that are being made for electric vehicles and so forth, they are the world's largest producer of these chips and the precious minerals and so forth. They've been hoarding in China as well. And this whole matter of the global climate change crisis, so to speak, this really plays into the hands of communist China to fulfill the agenda that we've talked about previous.
Yes, it does. It absolutely does in every way. And I've written very extensively on this, breaking down the numbers. Again, the communist Chinese are building coal-fired power plants very, very rapidly. They are not powering their economy with windmills and solar panels. Instead, they're taking advantage of the subsidies that Democrats and the Biden administration are offering, funded by our tax dollars, to pay for cheap junk that doesn't work, manufactured by quote-unquote companies owned and operated by, again, the most murderous dictatorship on the planet. So they're powering the factories that are making these dumb solar panels and these ridiculous windmills with coal-fired power plants, and they're reaping massive subsidies from the U.S. government, from the American taxpayer, while they laugh all the way to the bank and we undermine our energy grid, our economy, our companies. You couldn't make this stuff up. And if you tried to write a fiction book about it, it would sound too incredible to believe, and yet it's exactly what's happening.
I mentioned big business before, and we know businesses are being impacted in very adverse ways when it, you know, as it relates to the climate change policies. So what's in it for them, Alex? I mean, you would think that big business would be fighting this agenda rather than participating in it.
Yeah, you would think so. But unfortunately, we have several things that are going on here with the businesses. One is they want to get a good ESG score. What has happened over recent years is that we've got a system in place now where companies are no longer simply worried about what they're supposed to be worried about, which is making a profit for their shareholders. Right? That historically has been the purpose of a company, to make money for shareholders. And of course, they do that in a free market system by serving their fellow human beings. You take inputs and you add value to those inputs, and then you sell them for a profit. In other words, you create wealth, and you create wealth by satisfying the needs and wants of consumers and adding value to input. So that's a system that works very well. It's a system that I believe God kind of outlines for us in the Scripture. When you take what we know from the Scriptures about how the economy should work, the Apostle Paul says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Numerous places in the Old Testament, we're told that we need honest weights and measures, so we need a legitimate monetary system. We're told, thou shalt not steal. In other words, you can't loot your neighbor. You can't do these different schemes to kind of rip off your neighbors and your fellow human beings. So I believe God ordains a kind of a free market-oriented economy. And what this ESG system does is it flips that on its head. Instead of actually focusing on satisfying consumers and meeting their needs, they're focused on jumping through these hoops that unelected officials at these mega banks like BlackRock are coming up with, which is, you know, how big is your carbon footprint? Do you have enough transgenders in your advertising programs? Do you have enough homosexuals on your board of directors? Things like this. And so you've got all these companies focused on that, and so they don't want to speak out against the lies of the climate change movement. They also know, and we saw this very clearly with the way the Biden administration weaponized the social media companies, they are under extreme pressure from the federal government to keep silent and to go along with this agenda. So it's a situation that's very dangerous, where even our own companies are betraying our country. They're funneling our technology and our capital over to China while they dismantle what's left of our economy here in the United States, all under, again, as I mentioned, a totally fraudulent pretext.
Indeed. Alex, I was also alarmed, and I saw an article earlier this year at The New American. German climate researcher proposes a CO2 emissions budget for everyone. And I understand that there are those who are working to place everybody on a personal CO2 emissions budget. Are there any legs to this?
There will be legs to this, yes. American Express is now implementing this. Other credit card companies are working on it. I suspect the Europeans will find out first how serious this is, but absolutely. They are creating the infrastructure right now to track your CO2 emissions, and once you've hit your CO2 budget, you know, and it'll start off as a cool, trendy thing for people who want a virtue signal and show everybody how virtuous they are by having a small carbon footprint. But you can be assured that if it's not stopped, it will eventually become mandatory. And when you exceed your carbon dioxide budget, you won't be able to buy a hamburger. You won't be able to buy a steak. You won't be able to fill your car with gasoline. You won't be able to do a whole lot of things. And this is just part of the switch to an entirely new economic model, right? The type of economy we're talking about here is a technocratic model where you lose self-government, you lose individual agency, you lose private property rights, and decisions are made by self-proclaimed experts and scientists in the interests of the people. And we have seen examples of these forms of government, these forms of economic systems many times over the last 100 years. They always end in disaster.
Alex Newman, our guest here today in Crosstalk. A quick break. We'll come back with some more discussion a little bit later. We'll be opening our phone lines as well. But I do want to get into this aspect, some discussion on depopulation. And folks, it is taking place. It's in the agenda. And we'll be back to discuss that in just a moment. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
From the invention of writing, this world has been mostly ruled by kings. Power which concentrates into the hands of one person often rewards his friends, though, and punishes his enemies. The King of England was the most powerful king this planet had seen. So when Americans got the chance, they set up a government as far from a king as possible. A republic where the people are king, ruling through their representatives. How do republics rise and fall? How did 45 countries fall to communist dictators? Are these tactics used in America today? These and other issues are addressed in the book, Who is the King in America? By William Federer. This book provides the reader with an overview of 6,000 years of history and why America is unique. Discover the keys to preserving the freedoms of America's Republic. Who is the King in America? It's available for a donation of $18 or more. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
The program you're listening to is Crosstalk. It comes your way each weekday afternoon at the same time on VCY America. Alex Newman, our guest today, on climate policy chaos. And Alex, you write, senior editor for New American. Give us a word about the magazine, if you would.
Sure. Well, thank you. It is, in my opinion, the best publication on the planet. It was created as a merger of two previous publications. It was published by the John Birch Society, which is a national pro-freedom educational organization named after a missionary who was killed by Chinese communists, incidentally, right after World War II. And so we bring basically the truth as we understand it from a biblical, from a constitutional perspective to subscribers all across the country and even around the world. And, you know, we do our best to be accurate. I think we do a better job than just about anyone. And I hope people will check it out. You can find it at thenewamerican.com. You can follow us on any of the social media platforms. And we've been doing a lot more video work, too. So in addition to the print magazine, which comes out twice a month, people can follow the growing amount of content that we're producing in video and podcasting and multimedia.
Indeed. TheNewAmerican.com is the website. And Alex, you also have your own site as well?
I do, yeah. LibertySentinel.org is my personal website. People can get, you know, books, my books and DVDs, and also a variety of different content that I produce, including that article that I mentioned about the new poll that was released last week by AP NORC, showing that a majority of Americans officially reject the hypothesis that human activities are causing climate change or global warming.
Alex, this conference that you were at, the Heartland Conference, Heartland Institute, this was not one, not two, not three. I understand more than 50 different experts came together attending this and really warning about the policies that are being implemented, whether it be the Biden administration or at the UN level. These are the things that are going to cause the catastrophe, the policies, not changing in the climate itself.
That's right. And I encourage people, you know, a lot of people, they fall for this notion that you have to be a scientist to truly understand these things, and that's not true. But if you have friends, family, you know, your children, your grandchildren, they got indoctrinated in their school or at the university that every scientist agrees, it's absolutely fraudulent. And so one of the things that I have done over the last 12 or 15 years now is find world-renowned leading experts in these fields. And that's exactly what I did at the Heartland Institute Climate Summit. I encourage people to go check out these videos and share them with your friends, with your family who maybe have been hoodwinked by this fraud. Mm-hmm. We've got interviews from some of the top scientists around the world, from some of the most prestigious universities in the world. I interviewed Dr. Richard Lindzen, Professor Emeritus of Meteorology and Atmospheric Science at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. I mentioned Dr. Will Happer. That was Trump's climate advisor, professor of physics at Princeton University. Interviewed Dr. Willie Soon from Harvard Smithsonian, one of the world's leading astrophysicists. And I think I got maybe 12 or 13 other world-renowned climate scientists speaking on this, including, by the way, many who've worked on the UN's climate change body. So, you know, go check out those videos. Don't believe the propaganda that scientists all agree on this, that is absolutely untrue. And what you'll find is that, you know, they're using fraud once again and deception.
Well, one of those that was hoodwinked is a fellow named Neil Winton. And Alex, I see CFACT had written about him. He worked at Reuters for 32 years. He was a global science and technology correspondent. And he recently admitted, he said he was wrong for going along with not putting in the journalistic effort to question the media's prevailing climate narrative, because the media is all in on this. And as he began studying this, aside from the narrative, he said, I was wrong.
Yeah, and that takes a lot of courage to be able to do that. So I have a lot of respect for that individual. But I'll tell you, having gone to these UN climate scientists for almost 15 years now, to these they do them in exotic tourist destinations around the world. The most recent one was in Egypt. You know, being in the journalism section, there are thousands of so-called journalists, or at least individuals who identify as journalists. And I've started calling it the cheerleading section. I mean, these people, they give standing ovations to mass murdering dictators when they come out and announce that, you know, they've come up with some new agreement on climate change. There are never real questions about the underlying science, about whether this makes any sense, about the cost benefit. It's truly incredible, but I think more and more people are going to realize, especially after what we just saw the last 3 years with COVID, that we have been hoodwinked, that we have been lied to by people in positions of authority.
Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Alex, let's bring in this aspect of depopulation, because this is very much married to this climate scare that's going on. Bridge that gap for us, if you would.
Yeah, what you find at the highest levels of the climate change movement is that these are also people who have publicly and very openly expressed the view that there are too many people on this planet, that we need to reduce the population of the world. And a lot of them are very recognizable. I mean, people like Bill Gates, the guy who was really the face of the COVID response over the last few years. This is a guy who has publicly talked about how he believes that there are way too many people on this planet, that they're causing climate change, that we need to use things like vaccines and reproductive health care to try to rein in the population. And of course, you know, I go to my Bible. The very first command that God gave to human beings was to be fruitful and multiply. Mm-hmm. There was no little asterisk there that said when you get to, you know, 7 billion, that's when you need to start aborting babies and using ubiquitous contraception. But the people at the top of this movement, whether we're talking about the Club of Rome, whether we're one really good example of this, and I think this will kind of show what I'm trying to say. Barack Obama appointed a guy by the name of John Holdren to be his science czar during his administration, and he plays a very prominent role to this day in the climate movement. Prior to the global warming alarmism, he was actually a global cooling alarmist. He also said the global cooling would be caused by carbon dioxide, and his solutions that he put on paper in books were so outrageous that I don't even expect anybody listening to my voice to believe me. Go check it out for yourself. He wrote a book in 1977 called Ecoscience, where he proposed adding sterilizing agents to the water supply and forced abortions in the United States to deal with this alleged climate or the population crisis. And so the people who are promoting this climate change narrative at the highest levels are neo-Malthusian crackpots who think that there are too many of us on the planet, and yet they never volunteer to leave first. It's very bizarre.
It is bizarre. And, Alex, I don't know if you've done any research on this or not, but certainly there have been allegations, and we've heard talk of taking the aspects of the mRNA shot and putting it into food supply. Have you uncovered any evidence to bear that out?
The research has been done for a while. They've been using these mRNA, the platform, in pork for several years now, and they're expanding that very rapidly into other forms of livestock. And they have been researching for quite some time now how they could, quote-unquote, vaccinate people through their lettuce and through their tomatoes. So, frankly, I'm very concerned about this. I've been very pleased to see that there are bills moving through a number of state legislatures requiring at least the labeling of products that include these types of alterations. But we've got to get serious about this. These people have a demonstrated track record of hostility to humanity, to individual liberty. They have a demonstrated track record of saying that there are too many of us on this planet. I don't want them manipulating my food supply or the genes of my children or of my hamburgers. These people need to be brought under control.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's begin in Deerbrook. And Bill, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex Newman. What I want to know is, I'm confused a little bit. As humans, we are able to overfarm the Tigris-Euphrates Valley with beasts of burden and hand tools, And here in Wisconsin, we have lots of problems with waters and wells. So I just don't know how we're ever going to not over-farm the planet.
You're concerned about over-farming. Okay, Alex, are we over-farming?
Well, I haven't heard the term over-farming. I'm not sure what that's supposed to mean. In a free market system, typically what happens is we have an abundance of production, and typically we have some surplus, but as soon as the price drops low enough, which is what happens when either the supply grows too big or the demand shrinks, people stop investing, people stop producing that particular good. And so, you know, the problem of over-farming, as far as I'm concerned, only results from government programs such as subsidies that encourage farming that wouldn't take place organically in a free market system. To talk about over-farming when there are millions of people on the planet, maybe I'm just not understanding correctly, but again, to talk about over-farming when there are people starving to death right now, I just don't know where you get the concept of over-farming.
As a matter of fact, the cutbacks that we're seeing, the attack now on rice, the attack on farmers' crops. I mean, in Holland, I mean, farmers have driven their tractors, you know, right down downtown, so to speak, to protest this.
Yes, and we're seeing that around the world. Mm-hmm. If the UN's policies on sustainable development are implemented as they were in Sri Lanka, what will happen very rapidly is a collapse of our agricultural systems and our food systems. I believe this is what they want. They want to centralize and radically transform the food supply. They've made that very clear. They want us eating insect protein. They want to do indoor vertical farming. And they want it all under the control of a tiny handful of mega corporations tied at the hip with technocratic and fascistic governments, very much along the lines of what happens in communist China today. And I think we need to resist that. We want to protect our independent farmers, our independent ranchers. We want to have a diversified food supply where it's able to withstand shocks. I think centralizing is generally a very dangerous thing, but when we're talking about something as important as food, it's hard to overstate the danger.
Merle in Tennessee calling. Go ahead, Merle.
Yeah, Jim. An organization with absolute control over humanity has to be created for the Antichrist to operate out of, whether it be the UN or the WHO. And also a centralization has to occur of the banks, the health care, even the farming. I believe we'll start seeing a real centralization taking place and a structure and a platform for the Antichrist to work out of. Mm.
Thank you, Merle, for that. As Jimmy DeYoung would say, Alex, the stage is being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled.
Absolutely, and we know for a fact that all of God's promises will come to pass. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, God has given us clear instructions, clear responsibilities, clear assignments while we are here. As the body of Christ, we are one body with many members. God has given us different talents, different areas of expertise. But we do all have certain callings. We are to do everything as unto the Lord, whether we're politicians or businessmen or fathers or mothers or husbands, wives. I don't think we should accept the notion that, well, you know, something is inevitable because prophecy has declared it, and therefore we just sit back and do nothing while evil runs totally wild and we just remain silent and wait to be raptured. Mm-hmm. I think we have an obligation as God's people. First of all, in my capacity as a journalist, I always cite Ephesians 5:11. I actually just read Ephesians chapter 5 again today. Paul is very clear that we have an obligation, we have a duty to speak out against, to expose and to reprove evil. And that's at an absolute minimum, right? And so depending on where God has put you in life, we have an obligation to speak out, to stand up, to proclaim the truth. And when people tell me, you know, the Great Reset is just inevitable because, you know, the prophecies say we're going to have the satanic one world government, I say, well, you know what? That may be, that's outside of what I can control, but God did tell me to pursue the Great Commission, so I'm going to fight the Great Reset with the Great Commission. I'm going to preach the good news. I'm going to try to make disciples of all nations and baptize them and teach them to obey all that God has commanded us. And, you know, God's prophecies will be fulfilled in his time, but in the meantime, he's given us clear instructions about what to do, and I think as Christians, we need to do our best. And when he returns, let him find us busy doing his business.
Indeed. And a quick break here, friends, but as Scripture says, moreover, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. We're never told in Scripture that once XYZ happens in government or we get this level of population, then we need to sit back and let it all unfold. No, we are to be salt. We are to be light. There's no conditions placed upon it. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Google's CEO says he doesn't fully understand how new artificial program called Bard works. After it taught itself a foreign language, it was not trained to know. And then it cited a fake book or a collection of fake books to solve an economics problem. That was a headline at the Daily Mail. Here's the issue. How do we know that Satan won't use technology and artificial intelligence as a demonic platform? Do we see the merging of demonism and technology in the Bible? I think we do in Genesis chapter 10 and 11 in the Tower of Babel. I also think we see it clearly in Revelation 13, where you have an image set up in the temple, the tribulation temple, that speaks words of blasphemy. Many of the UFOs today that are cited, I believe, are indeed demons using so-called technology to deceive people. So be aware.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman with us today. The website, thenewamerican.com. You can also check out his site, libertysentinel.org. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Greg has been holding the longest in Minnesota. Hi, Greg, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I have kind of a comment and a question. It has to do with the carbon capture, because I was listening to somebody, and apparently they were doing it in Mississippi, and it all escaped, and there was some devastating consequences to go along with it. So it's kind of like, what were they going to store all this if they capture it?
Yeah, and then they're looking to put a pipeline through the heartland of the U.S. What about that carbon capture pipeline, and what happens if it escapes?
Yeah, this is such a nefarious agenda. It's hard to overstate how dangerous this is. First of all, we're taking thousands of acres of the best farmland out of production to do this. Second of all, we're creating an enormous potential environmental and health hazard, legitimate environmental and health hazards, unlike so much of what the establishment tells us is dangerous to the environment and health. It's also a major assault on private property rights. And really, at the end of the day, it's a money-making scam. It's a scheme for crony capitalists who are really producing nothing useful to extort taxpayers and to extort consumers for extra money that they wouldn't have to pay otherwise. We've done extensive work on this at the New American. We've been working with a lot of state legislators, especially across the Midwestern states, on this issue. And so I encourage people to go to thenewamerican.com and learn a whole lot more about this nefarious carbon capture and the pipeline agenda.
Thank you, Greg. Zach is next in River Falls. You're on the air, Zach.
Hi. Can the government control the weather?
Can the government control the weather? And, Alex, can the government attempt to control the weather? Are they doing things to try and impact the weather?
Great question. And I think ultimately, you know, we have to, as Christians, recognize that God is primarily in charge of the weather and all things. But for at least 100 years now, governments have been working hard to try to find ways to manipulate the weather. They have had some success on this. You can find a lot of evidence of this in the patent record. You can find a lot of this in declassified documents. And the Soviet Union was figuring out how to create rain and how to stop rain from coming. So these technologies have been under development for a long time. Many of them have been deployed. There are people who've done some really deep research into this. It's not an area that I've specialized in, but certainly the governments of the world have been attempting to control weather for generations now.
Thank you, Zach. Kathy is next. Hi, Kathy. You're on the air.
Thanks, Jim. My question has got to do with convincing our kids and grandkids that climate change is a big foozle. And the Christian schools are not the answer. For one thing, they're expensive, and for another, because of hypocrisy, they don't always work. But how do we convince these kids? I mean, they think we're just dummies, those of us who are not.
And unfortunately, what's happening right now in the government schools is the children are not actually being trained to think or to examine evidence or to use logic or reason to come to sensible conclusions. It sounds almost outrageous to say it, but it's true. They are being conditioned through behavioral conditioning and psychological manipulation, very much like one would train a circus animal, to not actually think about these things, but to have a particular emotional reaction to a particular claim, statement, idea. And so it becomes very difficult then to use evidence, logic, or reason to try to explain to these young people why they are wrong. But there are ways of doing it. I think we really do need to make an effort. And, you know, climate change may not be at the top of our list, right? I think we're far more concerned with teaching our children about the gospel and the word of God. But climate change is an example of the diabolical deceptions that are running wild. And so we really do need to teach our children how to think, how to look at evidence, how to use reason to come to sensible conclusions. And I don't believe that process can really take place anymore in a public school. So I encourage parents to pull their children out of public schools. And what I say to homeschool parents is, you know, you want your children to know the arguments of the other side better than they know them themselves. So, for example, my wife and I homeschool our five children. Our children know the arguments in favor of the evolution hypothesis better than 95% of the adherents to the evolution hypothesis. Same thing with climate change. And I think as Christians, as people who value truth, we do need to train our children in how to think and how to come up with sensible arguments and how to debate. These are very important parts of a legitimate education. But unfortunately, I don't think it's possible anymore in a public school. So I encourage parents to retake responsibility over their children's education, which I believe is what the scripture calls on us to do as parents.
Thank you for the call. And Alex, I know resources like New American will help in that education process.
Absolutely, yep. And actually, the New American has an affiliate K through 12 school. I taught there for 12 years, advanced economics. Now I serve on the board. Great school. It's a Freedom Project Academy. People can find us at fpeusa.org. And I also serve as a volunteer executive director for a ministry called Public School Exit. We're working with families and churches across the country to figure out how to rescue Christian children from the horrors of government so-called school. And, I'm a volunteer as well, even though it's a fancy title. But anything we can do to help families and churches get Christian children out of this system, we are willing to do.
Kathy, thank you for the call. Brad is next in West Dallas. You're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. Your guest is right on point when he's talking about these whiners about climate change and too many people on the planet and all that. And it's always somebody else that has to be gotten rid of, never them.
So true.
And they all seem to have a carbon footprint like King Kong to go along with it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But people need to realize something about our atmosphere. Carbon makes up a grand total of about 0.04% of the atmosphere. That's 4% of 1%. If anything, we need more carbon, just like we need more people.
Hmm. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
And let me just squeeze also in Megan from Dallas, Texas. You're on the air. Megan.
Hi there. Mm-hmm. Yes, hi there. I just wanted to say thank you for your program. Thank you for this gentleman being on today. And I will say my son shared a video with me where CNN had these reporters and people that worked at the agency who said, look, we got Trump out of office. We did it all with this marketing and communications campaign. Our next step is, yes, global warming.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Hey, I am sorry I'm out of time. Alex, a final comment here.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the program, Jim, and I do hope folks will take this seriously. We need to value truth, and we need to do what God has called us to do. So thank you again, and God bless you all.
Thank you, Alex. Folks, the website, thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. Keep in mind, there is an agenda, folks, an agenda that is underway, and this whole matter of global climate change is one aspect of it. Yeah, control is a huge factor. Communist China, the Great Reset, depopulation, all connected together. Folks, let's keep our eyes on the Lord. Let's be faithful in serving Him. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.